you'd like to be turning to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. To express my appreciation to you all, express my appreciation for the invitation to come and be with you all this weekend. I certainly have enjoyed myself. I hope that the lessons presented have been useful to you, and that as you leave here today that you'll feel that there are areas of which improvement can happen in your life and your service to God. I know that is the case for me. I'm not a perfect person, and I need to hear things that tell me I need to improve and that tell me that I can do better. And so I appreciate your encouragement this weekend as well. I appreciate all the kind words that you've said, and not just this weekend, but all the times that I've over the years been able to speak. Doug's happy because years ago when I first spoke here the first time, I think I had 30 or 40 pages of notes up here with me. And I've only got the one tonight, Doug. So we're good. So we're making progress. So we've been engaged in this study of practical applications, practical ways of which solving everyday problems in our lives, ways that we can serve God better. But I think that it's important for us to wrap our meeting up with this, to simply answer this question that I've posed for us tonight, what is it all about? Because I can live my life in a certain way as to have friends that say in my life, and I can pick certain friends, and I can pick those friends of which we talked about in our lesson on friends. Or I can be sure that I work in the way in which we talked about this morning in our lesson on work. Or I can utilize my time in a worthy manner, as we talked about this morning, or set my priorities in line. All those things that I can do, but why? Why do that? You know, if we don't answer that question, then all the things that we've talked about this weekend and all the things we talk about every time we come together and every time you study God's Word, if we can't answer this question, then what's the meaning behind it? So what, in other words? I think we can at least assess amongst us in our group that's here tonight that it's no shock to you that God's done a lot for you. This shouldn't be a surprise to you that He's done quite a few things for us. Even society kind of shows that to us a little bit. Here's the way they do it. Somewhere around December, society starts working on, we got to celebrate Jesus' birth, they say. And it's somewhere around March or April, depending on whenever they put it, we got to celebrate Easter. And everybody gets all their things together and starts working on celebrating this time that's been determined for these things. And society full-fledged on that. I don't know if y'all experience it, but we have a spike in numbers as far as attendance goes during those times. Folks that we don't normally see, we see during those two times. Those are just two examples to show that people recognize at least that there's something that's been done at some point in time. Christ instituted the memorial that we partook of this morning. We remember and focus upon His death, His sacrifice for us, and the hope that we have through that sacrifice. We remember that. We put it as a focal point in our worship. Why did He do that? Why did He hang on the cross? It was for you. It was for me. It's for us. It's encouraging and uplifting just to think about all the wonderful things that have been done for you and done for me by God. And in our meeting this weekend, I kept thinking about how truly insignificant I am. How in the whole scheme of things and all the people that have ever lived, there's this little speck of Coy Baldwin. How insignificant I, in my own mind, am, but yet how important I am to Him. And how much my Creator loves me and how much He cares for me. And so I want to talk just this evening, just a few things to list to start with. Some things that God has done for you. I want to start with that. Things that God has done for you. And first one that we read about here in Psalm 139, I think is of great importance. When you look in verse 13, it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." He made us. And it wasn't just a matter of He made us, He created us, and He made this cookie cutter. And every single one of us is the same. And it's not a manufacturing plant of human. No, God didn't do that. That's not what He did for us. He made us special. He made us unique, personally designed, He says here. You formed my inward parts. He had a hand in that. And more important than that, when you look over in Genesis chapter 1, and I'm confident that you're aware of this, but it just exemplifies it. In Genesis chapter 1, there in verse 27, he had something special about each and every one of us. Genesis 1 and verse 27, he says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Man, male and female, He created them. He made us, but He made us with an eternal spirit. He made us with an eternal nature. He made us like Him in that sense. God is eternal, and He has put an eternal spirit in us. And from day one of your life, He has made it possible for you to know Him forevermore. It's pretty special when you think about it. Pretty special for us, what God has done for you and for me. And not just that, He made you. Certainly. Your existence here, you are alive because of Him. He made you with such love and care, but you mean something to Him as well. It's not just that He created us and He put us here on this earth and then that's it. We have meaning to Him. He gave His Son for you. He offered Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's special. That He cares. He showed us that He loves us. You know, there's people that care about you. There's people here that care about you. You got family members, all sort of folks that care about you. But I'll tell you what, none of them, not a single person cares for you as much as God cares for you. He cares for you so very much. People can believe in you. They can have faith and encourage you and motivate you to do things. But I tell you what, nobody believes in you like God believes in you. Nobody cares in this magnitude. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2 then. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul writes here, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins." Look in verse 4. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us." You mean something to God. It's important. "Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ." You know what? He cares for us so much that for you, He gave His Son. Even when we were in sin. Even when we were drawn away and we were not in that good relationship. He cared still then. And He gave us that. He invested in your future with all that He had to give. Why did He send His Son? Because He cares. He offered His Son for you. Not just that. Oh no, He prepared a place for you as well. Look at all these things God has done for you. I feel valuable when people want me to be with them. Don't you feel good when somebody says, "I want to be with you. I want to spend some time with you. Let's get together. Let's go play 42 together." I like when folks say that. That's good times. Oh no, so much more for God. He doesn't want to just spend an afternoon playing cards with us. No. He wants us to be with Him. He wants us to have a forever relationship, an eternity in your company, and you in His. Turn over to John chapter 14. It's written in John chapter 14. It's specific to the 12, but there's an implication just simply to appreciate what He has done for us in this sense. John chapter 14, look in verse 1. He says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He prepared an eternal dwelling place for you and for me. What God has done for us. He wants you to be with Him. He wants you to be with Him now. He wants you to be with Him forever. You are extremely valuable to God. Well, we could end our lesson here, couldn't we? Look at that. Look at all these good things that we're talking about. God made you. God cared for you. He gave you His Son. He sent His Son for your sins, for my sins. He prepared this place for us. He wants us to be with Him forevermore. And I trust if we ended the lesson here this evening that you would leave here, and I think you would have an appreciation and just a thankfulness to God for all the great ways in which He's loved you. I'll tell you, there's something missing in my list up here. There's something drastically missing. I see on some of your faces as we've gone along, you've become concerned. There's something true about this that's missing from my list. Because as it is right now, the way it looks is that it's really all about me. God made me. God sent His Son for me. God prepared a place for me. See, it's all very, very selfish, isn't it? It's very much, it looks and says, this is all about me. I am the center of God's universe and everything revolves around me if I leave it like it is. Sadly, a lot of people interpret this in this way. And it's reflected in the way they live. This is the way it's going to be. God's going to accept me no matter what. I'll be pleasing to Him because I say so, because He made me. And He did that for me. See, He was doing things for me. He's been doing that all along, hasn't He? But for you really isn't the end of this lesson. Saying that God made you, that's not the end. Saying that God sent His Son for you, that's not the end. Saying He prepared a place for you, that's not the end. You know what? That's truly the beginning of the lesson. That's truly where it starts for us to understand. It merely sets things up for the true why. The true what is it all about. It's set up right here for us. I invite you to be turning over with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And I want you to look for just a moment at verse 6. I want you to read it to yourself right now. I want you to read verse 12. I want you to read verse 14. I believe there's a common theme in these. Verse 6, 12, and 14. It says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace." Verse 6. Verse 12 says, "To the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory." Verse 14, "Who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory." Did you see the theme there in those three verses? Did you answer the question what it's really all about when you were reading that? Why has God done so much for us? Why has He made us? Why has He given us His Son? Why has He prepared this place? This is it right here, folks. To the praise of His glory. That's what life and its blessings truly are all about. To praise God and His glory. And so, yes, God has made you, but He made you to serve Him. That's what He has done. Far too many folks believe that faith and salvation is not about us. It's about just God doing His part. Not about us doing anything. It has no relationship at all to us. But you know, there's more to it than that. Turn back where we started in Genesis chapter 1. Turn back there where we were at just a few moments ago. Genesis chapter 1 And verse 26, I referenced this verse this morning in our lesson on work as well. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. God, it says verse 27, God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created him. God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over everything that moves on the earth. Go out and be responsible. Go out and watch over these things. Look at chapter 2 and verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. You go out, you be responsible, you work for this garden. He's created, He's given us every good thing that's there. He gave Adam and Eve exactly what they needed, and He said, you oversee these things, and then you honor me by doing what I told you to do. You follow my law. See that tree over there? Don't eat a bit. He made them, but He had expectations. Look in chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, by the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Kind of like saying, I brought you in, I'm going to take you out. That's it. That's the point of what He's saying. I brought you here, you obey me. They didn't. There was a consequence to it. Because He had an expectation. Let's not be the person who thanks God for life every day, and then doesn't use the life that He gives us to serve Him. We wake up every morning, thank you for the night's rest, thank you for bringing me alive this day, and then we don't use that day at all for Him. We become self-centered. We become worried about ourselves. But God made you to serve Him. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, you know that verse, where it answers that question, what the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. When you sum it all up, that's what it's all about at the end of the day, isn't it? Why are you here? What's on earth for you? What is life there? School? Work? Play? Why are we here on this earth? We're here to serve God. You've been put here to obey Him. God offered His Son for you as well. And He did that with a purpose. Look over in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. It says, for all have sinned. Sinned and calls us to do what? Fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He says, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. There Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 3 he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's a new hope, a new peace, a new purpose. It's a new life that we live through this sacrifice. Look at verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You know, God offered His Son for you. Let's honor Him. So Peter's writing here, you live like it. You go out, you leave here. It's easy to live like it amongst common folk, but you leave here and go out into the world, you live like it. You live like God offered His Son for you. All those issues we've talked about this evening. You sit down and talk to your kids and you talk to them about being morally pure. You sit down and talk to them about picking the right friends. You worry about and you spend time about certain things. When you talk to them about these things, when you talk to them about praying, taking time to read, worship, self-control, attitude, how you talk, you do all those things, you remember that He gave us His Son so that we can honor Him. And it's the very least that I can do, that I can show that in the way that I live. Also, chapter 2 of 1 Peter in verse 9. Chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light." So that you may proclaim it, He says. Why? Why live this way? Why be these chosen people? Because God gave up His Son to preserve a pure and holy people. That's the purpose of life in Christ. That's the outcome of the blessings that we have in His Son. God has prepared a place for you. And the reason He did, the purpose in that, is so we can be holy in His sight. I got a little secret for you. Heaven is about God. I understand what He writes about it and has written about it in His Word. It's not about us. I had somebody come to my door one time and knock. Maybe you've had somebody come to the door and knock and want to talk to you about spiritual things. And I asked the question, what do you got to do to get to heaven? That was a lengthy conversation. And the lady said, "I don't want to go to heaven." "What?" She said, "I like earth. I like everything it is about it. And I'm not going to be one of the chosen ones that gets there, so God's going to give me what I want and to give me a place to enjoy these things here. I like to go shopping." Earth may be about going shopping, but I promise you, heaven not going to have a shopping mall. You're not going to have a place for us to focus on those things, because it's not about us enjoying ourselves in the way in which we do going shopping. It's going to be about serving God. It's going to be about honoring God. And if that doesn't sound good to you, this may sound a little harsh. It may not be the place for you. If it doesn't sound good to you to serve and honor God, then heaven might be a disappointment to you. Magnifying and worshiping and serving our great Creator. The whole idea that God has done so much for me so I can live for me and then go to heaven, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Receive crowns and robes and wings and all this for me. I miss the mark if I make that my point of it. When the veil of heaven was pulled back for John in Revelation, it's not what some expect. When you read Revelation 4 and 8 through 11, Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 through 11, says, "The four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come.' When the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever." Look at verse 11. "Worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and because of Your will they existed and were created." Tell you what, it's going to be about honoring God. It's going to be about worshiping God. It's going to be about loving Him. And if life is not about Him, you can't turn His love for you into sincere devotion to Him. And heaven might not be the place for you. It's about the praise of God. So what do we do with this information? God created us, all of us, to serve Him. All of us, those that are here right now and those that are not. That was His plan. He made us to serve Him, and He offered His Son so that we may honor Him. Look in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. There it says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man. Though perhaps for the good man some of them would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He has an expectation for us. He has a love for us. We are valuable to Him, but it's a purpose in praising Him. He has prepared a place for you to glorify Him. And I just want you to think about and just remember this. In the book of Acts, in chapter 4, the apostles had been warned. They had been beaten a little bit. They had been told to stop preaching this gospel, this news about Jesus. And yet, I haven't been beaten before. Not for preaching. Oh, I've had folks that didn't like it sometimes. I've had folks that had negative comments, but I ain't never experienced this. You know, we might waver sometimes if things got this tough. I would hope not, but just the reaction of the apostles in verse 20, when they said, Peter speaking, he says, we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. I want to leave you with a practical application. Just here tonight in this. God has made you to serve Him. He's offered His Son to honor Him. He has prepared a place for you to be holy in His sight. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't keep it a big secret. When you leave here tonight, and each day as you live that life and you work towards serving Him, don't stop. Don't stop sharing His Word. Share the good news of Christ to others. Share the things that He's done for you and the reason that He has. It's a challenge to each and every one of us. It can be simple as setting up a Bible study or even as simpler as to saying, hey, come go to worship with me. But we ought to be working in a similar fashion as this, sharing the good news of Christ. It's really God's desire. And finally, if you look over in 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 9, he puts it this way, the Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God's done this for you. He's done this for everyone. And yet, we need to ask ourselves if we share the good news of Christ as we ought to. God has done a lot of wonderful things for you, and we would do well to remember them. We would do well to be thankful for them and tell Him of our thanks. It should dominate our thoughts for Him. We should contemplate it at all times that I exist for Him. Jesus died to save me for Him. I will be allowed to live forever in heaven for Him. I should share the gospel for Him. From this moment forward for you all, no matter how your life has been lived up until this point, may you walk here from this moment forward to praise and glorify Him. Let that be your goal. If we can help you in your service to that, please let us know as we stand together and as we sing.